Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome in to NASCAR Coast to Coast, presented by Whelan Engineering. On the road, in the air, and around the world, Whelan is trusted to be seen, trusted to be heard, and trusted to perform. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty. My name is Chris Wilner, MR Input Reporter. Kyle Ricci out at beautiful Stafford Speedway. The leaves are changing, Kyle. And finally, the sun is out. That means you guys get to go racing this weekend for the fall final. How pumped are you for that?
I'm pumped because the sun is supposed to stay out for the rest of the week and into the weekend when we're racing. So, and temperatures somehow are going to be like 80 degrees. Not sure why Mother Nature's suddenly being nice to us, but we'll take it.
It's about time. It's a little long overdue. We've had to push this back for several weeks, but good to hear that the weather's going to be great. I know when we go out to Martinsville Speedway at the Motor Racing Network crew, it's going to be close to 80 degrees as well, which normally we're packing our hats, gloves, parkas, all that good stuff. So it'll be interesting for sure as, of course, we get down to the last couple weeks of the NASCAR season, which means we're getting back close to the end of the season for all of our NASCAR Roots Racing action. Of course, still a couple big races on the calendar in the next couple weeks with the All-America 400 as well as the South Carolina 400, but still lots to come and lots that happened over the weekend, Kyle. We've got schedules being released with the NASCAR Whelan Modified Tour. Of course, their season finale coming up this Thursday. Actually, today when the show airs on Thursday, we'll have a Thursday night action for the season finale for the mods. But let's talk about the week that was, and we'll start with the drama at Tri-County with the Cars Tour. Let's start with the late model stocks, a little less drama, as we saw Brendan Butterbean Queen get a redemption win, I guess you could call it. Ran out of fuel back in August when Landon Huffman took home 30 grand. He goes out and wins it. What did you think about the late model stock race before we get to the drama-filled pro late model event?
Yeah, that was the nightcap. A fairly tame race from what we saw earlier in the night. Brendan led most of the event, held off Mason Diaz, Landon Huffman at the finish, led a majority of the lap. So a dominant night, and like you mentioned, a redemption night for him. So a good event, great car count in both of the divisions, and but the tamer of the two events from what we saw about 90 minutes prior to that.
Yeah, just a little bit. And by the way, with the win, Butterbean 19 points back now of Mr. Carson Quapple for the late model stock title. Again, they wrap up their season November 4th at Caraway. Okay, let's get to the pro late model event. Where do we start? I guess the first thing we could start is with the finish, Kyle. You have the youngster, Gavin Bochelle, who I've had the pleasure of watching in the dirt ranks here at Millbridge Speedway, of course, running sprint cars for Christopher Bell's team. Goes out with the Rackley crew, is in second in the final couple of laps, and gets into Ashton Higgins, turning him around into the wall. Bochelle goes on to cross the finish line first, then gets post-race penalty for rough driving. That gives the win to Caden Quapple, who's your points leader on the pro late model side. But Kyle, what did you think of the move that Gavin put on Ashton there at the end?
Well, I mean, he did what he had to do. It wasn't the cleanest move. It's something I think we're seeing more and more in that type of racing in that region of the country, mainly in the Cars Tour. We've seen a lot of it, I feel like, this year. Last lap, last corner, I can't win, so I guess the guy in front of me is not going to win. I'm not quite sure what was going through his mind, but neither of them got the win, and Caden, who crossed the line in second, ultimately was awarded the win after his drama from about 20 laps earlier with Katie Hettinger.
Yeah, so let's talk about that, because Katie was handed down a penalty by the Cars Tour just yesterday before we recorded this show. So what was going on there? Because it seemed like, first of all, it seemed a little early in the race for me, but what was your take on the contact with Katie?
Well, the first one, here's how it started. The competition caution came out. The field was, clean and green. Everyone was strung out. I guess that's why they have competition cautions down there. I'm not a fan of them. Have never been a fan of them. Let the race play out the way it should play out. It's a 100-lap race. let it go without throwing all these cautions. But they threw the caution. They bunched everybody up. Caden had a great run in the outside of – make that Caden had a great run in the outside of Katie. They came together after three laps of really good side-by-side hard racing. Katie had it wound up in the outside. Caden looked good on the bottom. Not sure what happened off turn two, but they came together. Some would say Caden didn't leave Katie a lot of room, and Katie got out of shape, went spinning, got the outside wall. Caden was then black flagged, so obviously the officials saw that he was at fault, or at least a part of the incident. So they were both at the back, and then Katie right hooked Caden on the restart, and that pretty much ended her day and ultimately her Cars Tour season.
Yeah, so she was handed down a one-race suspension by the Cars Tour, which means she will not be taking part in the season finale at Caraway. More penalties came out as well. Ashton Higgins, who crossed the racing surface right after the checker to go confront Gavin Bushell. That's a no-no. He was sent home with a fine and on probation. Gavin Bushell's on a probation. So heated tempers in a very busy but competitive season for the Cars Pro Late Model drivers. Kind of came to a boiling point, it seemed like, there at Tri-County. We'll see if they get, an extra week off before we go to Caraway November 4th, see if things cool down a little bit. But certainly we will be without Katie there at the Pro Late Model event. But again, championships still up for grabs in both Late Model Stock and Pro Late Model. All right, let's get to some quick news real quick. How about DJ Shaw capturing the 2023 American Canadian Tour Championship? Did it with a walk-off win at New London Waterford Speed Bowl. He crowned the Triple Crown as well. So kind of a big championship effort for DJ Shaw, and a former Oxford 250 winner, gets it done for his second straight back-to-back titles in the ACT Tour. And then Arca West, Kyle, out there at Madera. What a return to Madera. I mean, I was wondering if that racetrack was ever going to be put back on the West schedule, but it was out at the 5150 Junior Homecoming Arca 150. Of course, several of the junior late model drivers that have graduated through that 5150 Junior program were there in attendance and entered into the race, mixed with some of our championship competitors like Sean Hingarani, who was awfully quiet, Kyle. We talked about kind of that championship run, it seemed like, when Landon Lewis was not in the car the last several weeks. It seems to be a walk-off, but not really for that Venerini Motorsports driver. Had a little bit of an issue, but it was Caden Honeycutt who was stealing the show yet again.
Yeah, well, Caden was good right off the truck. One practice, one qualifying, led every lap in the 150-lap event, and took the win with ease over Todd Souza, who had a very consistently good run at the front of the field, Joey East. Bradley Erickson, and then you mentioned Sean Hingarani, could barely race into the top five for much of the event, raced in that fifth, sixth, seventh spot for most of the race, and ended up with a top five. Continues to lead by, I guess, a fairly healthy margin. 30 points is a pretty good lead going into the season finale at the Phoenix Raceway over Trevor Huddleston here in just over a week's time to kick off championship weekend out there in the desert.
Yeah, it was not a good weekend for Sean, for sure. Had to go to the tail of the field at the start of the race for unapproved adjustments, so just kind of was trying to claw back from there. And Madera is, as we'll talk to our guest, who actually will be Caden Honeycutt here coming up on the second part of the show, kind of reminds him a little bit of Martinsville. So I think it's something where, obviously, at Martinsville, tough to pass. If you're at the rear of the field, you go a threat and getting a lap down early in the race, and qualifying is huge. So the fact that Sean had to start at the rear of the field just really put him in a hole, and it's hard to bounce out of. So again, has that margin, 30 points there going into Phoenix. Anything could still happen. Trevor Huddleston, yeah. What a great season for him, just to be in the championship discussion as we go to Phoenix here in 2 weeks. But of course, anything can happen. And of course, we'll have that on the Motor Racing Network coming up next week. All right, well, let's get to our guest. Let's get his thoughts on Madera Speedway. Of course, his win with the ARCA West Championship, and of course, his full season. He's been running the Truck Series nearly half the year for a couple different teams, a start with the Xfinity Series, and plenty of things to eye on coming at the end of this year and into 2024. Let's visit with Caden Honeycutt coming up next on the flip side of this break here on Coast to Coast.
Whelan Engineering, a global leader in the emergency warning industry, designs and manufactures reliable and powerful warning lights, white illumination lighting, sirens, controllers, and warning systems for the automotive, aviation, and mass notification industries worldwide. Whelan products are designed, sourced, and manufactured in America and tested on site to meet the toughest industry standards. Whelan Engineering, manufactured in America for over 70 years. We never left, and we're here to stay.
We'll be right back.
NASCAR Coast to Coast, presented by Whelen Engineering. Joining us now on the phone, it is the most recent ARCA West Series winner from over the weekend as the series made its return to Madera. Caden Honeycutt joins us on the line. Caden, congratulations on the big win this weekend. How are you this morning?
Man, I'm great. How about you guys?
Oh, we're doing fantastic. Probably not as good as you coming off of a win. I know race car drivers feed on momentum, and you've had some momentum. Every time you've stepped foot behind the wheel in the ARCA West Series, it seems to bode pretty well for you. Talk about your weekend here at Madera this past week.
Well, I mean, it's about as good as any weekend can go. We had a great car right off the trailer. Bruce Cook and all the guys at the shop did an amazing job, as they always do, to bring a fast car. Madera was just a place that nobody's been to in a long time, so no one really knew what to expect with the new series and new drivers and stuff like that. But I thought the race went great. It was probably a little bit more hectic at the end than I was hoping for, but still were able to get it done. Took the lead right off the rip and was able to not look back and lead all the laps, and pretty much an uneventful race for our part. And we were able to break the checkered and come out with the team standings lead going into the last race.
You mentioned hectic late in the event. That was because of a couple of late race caution flags. But when a driver dominates a day like you did, practice, qualifying, race, you led all the laps, it looks, you know, easy on paper. It looks like it was a perfect day on paper, but I think we all know that for us that have been around in the industry long enough, there was probably not much easy about that day for you guys.
No, not at all. I mean, it's always, restarts were absolutely hectic the entire time. Just being able to choose either the top or the bottom, didn't really know what to do in some given moments, but, you know, like I said, we were able to figure it out, able to execute and bring home a win for MMI, Steve McGowan race team. It wasn't easy, that's for sure. But on every restart, I had somebody wanting to hound me down and take the lead back from me. So it was tough, but, you know, we were able to get it done and go on to Phoenix and try to win there and bring home a team standings win for our MMI race team. So really looking forward to Phoenix. I think we got a really good bunch of competition going to be there. So it should be a good race, and we'll just try to come out with the championship and for the team and go on from there.
As we put a bow on this past weekend, Caden, what was so challenging about Madera? I know it was kind of a even playing field, I guess. I know there were some of those 51 junior late model kind of veterans and champions from years past that were entered in the event, so they have a little bit more experience. But for the series in general, making its return there, what made Madera maybe a challenge as far as just how to race that racetrack?
I thought of it like Martinsville, to be honest. I thought the track was absolutely awesome. I really enjoyed being able to do the nice diamond cut down. It's kind of shaped like Martinsville, but you had to attack it differently. And that's something I thought was very neat. So that's why when I went out for practice, I immediately started doing the diamond line, and it was tenths faster. And I was like, all right, this is most likely what I'm going to do the rest of the time and stick with it. And thankfully it worked, and a whole lot of other people tried it too, and they just, they couldn't make it work like we could, and I thought that was the indicator that we were going to be very good. So I was really excited as soon as that was happening. I thought we were going to be just fine, and thankfully we were. And it just turned into our second win of the season, and really looking forward to Phoenix to try to cap it off. And I thought it was a great racetrack. I thought it was the most different racetrack we've been to in a long time, and especially for me. So I enjoyed it. Hopefully ARCA West goes back there for many years to come, because that was a great racetrack, great facility. Kenny Shepherd and them do a great job there. So hats off to them, and thanks to them for letting ARCA to come back and come to a historic racetrack like that. So hopefully stay there for many more years to come, and a lot more great races will go on there.
You mentioned Phoenix, the final race of the ARCA Menards West Series season coming up in just over a week time, a race that you just mentioned that you're going to participate in as well. Do you believe in momentum? You have a lot of it right now. And do you think it can carry over to a much larger Phoenix Raceway next weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. I think with what we're trying and what we're going to bring to the racetrack, really looking forward to that. We're going to try to obviously compete for a win. Even if Joe Gibbs and Venery all going to be there, we're still going to give it our all. I think we'll have a great car. I've had Phoenix experience before, so I'm really looking forward to it in the truck and also the ARCA car. So a lot of racing to go on, and a lot of track time will be put down, which will be good for me, for both ARCA and truck. So like I said, really looking forward to the weekend. I think it's going to be great. And just can't do anything magical. If we get in a situation where we just have to settle for a good for points, we got to do that and make sure we bring home the team standings win.
You mentioned the Craftsman Truck Series. I know you've had several starts, this year alone. Roper Racing comes to mind. I think Young's Motorsports you've been a part of as well. What is the big benefit for you, obviously, aside from just taking part in the next series up and being a part of the NASCAR National Series, but as a driver who's starting to get higher and higher in his career, what's the biggest benefit that you found running the truck and then going back and being so successful in the ARCA car and in the other disciplines that you run?
And honestly, I have found that the ARCA car is harder to drive than the truck. When I did that at Bristol, did the double duty at Bristol, I was really surprised how much easier the truck was compared to the ARCA car. Honestly, I wish I got to drive ARCA a little bit more going and seeing how that drove at Bristol. So I'm really excited to see how it goes at Phoenix. I've learned a lot from the trucks to be able to take down to ARCA, especially experience wise and race wise. So, and ARCA has also helped me get ready for the truck better when I show up to the racetrack. So, there's a lot of variables that go on, but man, I like the ARCA car a lot. I think it's a great car, and being able to take the experience I've had with the ARCA car to the truck is very valuable, and it's definitely something that I will be very cherishable for and thankful for the opportunity to from Young's Motorsports and Bruce Cook. And we'll just go to Phoenix, take the best opportunity we can, and do it with what we got, and I'll hopefully come out on top for the ARCA car and have a nice run for the truck.
Following Phoenix, I know we've seen you in a bunch of different series over the course of this season. What do you have left on your schedule? I know Snowball Derby has been a big event for you the last few years. Runner-up finished there a few years back. Is that, obviously that race is coming up. Is that part of the schedule before we get to the holidays for you guys?
Well, unfortunately not. I have not participated in Derby for at least 2 years now. So I'm probably going to run the rest of the car, run one more car tour race after the Phoenix race. And then I'll run the South Carolina 400 and the Thanksgiving Classic to end the season and the late model stock and maybe some pro races with E33 race team. I'm also going to run the pro late model for them at Caraway. So a lot of racing still left to go. So right now I just got to do the best I can of what I got and, try to make the most out of it and try to win to be able to go forward and run in the trucks next year. That's what I really want to do, and that's the goal right now to happen. So you got to win in order to move on.
That's certainly for sure. And Caden, you talked about how you've got a lot of short track racing coming up, to close the season. And as somebody who's come through those ranks and still runs in those, especially when you look at the Cars Tour and things like that, how has late model stock and just late model racing in general changed over the last couple of years, especially now that you've gotten to see kind of the other side of things in the ARCA side and even in the trucks and Xfinity? But then when you come back to racing in the short tracks with late models, just how much has it changed over the last couple of years?
And it's changed a whole lot competition wise, that's for sure. It's changed the aspect of of competition in the matter of, like, you have got to be on your game the entire time. You cannot let up for one weekend, because if you let up for one weekend, you might as well not even think about running in the top five or top 10. So the amount of competition I've been fortunate to be able to race in the Karstura has definitely made it to where I've always will compete and be able to know the competition level and always go 110% every single lap, because you cannot run any worse than that. So, you know, it's tough. Like, it really is. And the Karstura has progressed me into running as well as I have in the ARCA car and the truck. So, I've just been very fortunate with the rides and the opportunities I've been able to have. And, just really looking forward to what's to come. And, yeah, it's just, the competition is unbelievable. And the last couple of years has definitely, I think ever since COVID has hit, everybody has trained so much harder and the technology has gone up and just everything has just doubled itself. So, yeah, it's hard, it's tough. And, you know, I'm really thankful for that. And, I think that this pushes us to be even better, to move on to the next level and continue to strive.
Been fun to watch those cars tours events here on Flow Racing over the last couple of seasons. Final question for you. Looking to the truck series, you've run just under half the season with several different teams, as Chris mentioned earlier in this interview. Have you met your goals? You know, I guess, what were the goals going in, and have you met them now with a couple of top 10 finishes and another very deep field that we see week in and week out?
Yeah, you know, I want to win every single race, right? So.
Sure.
I have not strived to win won at least one or two cars races this year. So, you know, I still have an opportunity to do that at Caraway with R&S Race Cars and Marcus Richmond. So really looking forward to that. I think that will be something to try to get and capitalize on. We got an ARCA win, finished top 10 in the truck this year. So right now we're just trying to, the goal is obviously winning everything, but for Phoenix, it'd be winning the team championship and as well as run in the top 10 at Phoenix for Tyler Young and Young Motorsports. So got some goals left for the rest of the season to win some big races and run well the rest of the season and try to move on to 24 or bigger and better things.
Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide.
How is 2024 planning going, Caden? I know you want to run the truck series full time. Is it looking like it's heading that direction, or we still kind of have some work to do over the off season?
Yeah, I just got a lot of work to do over the off season. You know, right now sponsorship is a big thing that I don't have is basically just money to be honest. So right now just looking for partners and sponsorship opportunities to be able to run in the full season next year. You know, I don't have anything fully planned out, so right now nothing's been signed. I'm working for the job every single race I'm getting into. That's why every race is so important. So yeah, just really trying to do well at Phoenix, do what we're supposed to do, and maybe make that a little bit more easier.
All right, well, partners listening to this show, give Caden Honeycutt a call, looking for an opportunity to run full-time the Truck Series next year. But, Caden, thanks so much for joining us today. Congratulations on the ARCA West win, and best of luck as we go to Phoenix next week. And you pull double duty. That's a busy weekend. And, of course, it's championship weekend I guess everything, ARCA West, as well as our top three series in NASCAR. So a big-time weekend out there in Phoenix. Go enjoy it, and best of luck.
Yeah, man, thank you. I appreciate you guys letting me on.
Absolutely. Caden Honeycutt, big ARCA West winner over the weekend at Madera. Coming up next on the show, a lot of news and notes to talk about, as well as some big races here as we get ready to cap off the 2023 season. That's all next here on Coast to Coast.
Whelan Engineering, a global leader in the emergency warning industry, designs and manufactures reliable and powerful warning lights, white illumination lighting, sirens, controllers, and warning systems for the automotive, aviation, and mass notification industries worldwide. Wieland products are designed, sourced, and manufactured in America and tested on site to meet the toughest industry standards. Wieland Engineering, manufactured in America for over 70 years. We never left, and we're here to stay.
Welcome back into NASCAR Coast to Coast, presented by Wheel and Engineering. Kyle, great conversation with Caden Honeycutt. Again, the perils of racing at this time in this generation, it's all about money and sponsorships. We certainly hope that Caden can get some, because I think if you put him in the seat for a full season on the truck side, probably about the midway point, I think he'll turn some heads, and depending on what ride he's in, has an opportunity to go out and challenge for some wins next year, especially when you look at the changing of the guard, it seems like, with so many Truck Series regulars jumping up to either Cup or Xfinity next year. The door is going to be wide open for new contenders for 2024.
And driving for Tyler Young, Young's Motorsports, that team has come such a long way here the last couple of years. It's been to victory lane, getting a victory at Talladega, finding more consistency in the top 10, top 15. So, you know, that could be an option for 2024, a full-time option anyway. He's done well with it part-time here this season. Look forward to seeing what he does at the Phoenix Raceway next week, part of the big doubleheader with the Arca Menards Series West as they wrap up their season.
That's right. He's going to pull double duty out there, as we heard, and can't wait to talk about all things championship weekend on the show next week. But let's get to some news and notes before a couple races coming up on the calendar this week. NASCAR home track Rockford Speedway out in Illinois. It's holding its final event this weekend, Kyle. One of the staples out in the Midwest, just about, I don't know, maybe an hour or so west of the city of Chicago, out there in Rockford, kind of saying farewell. And it's not the only track that's been saying farewell this year. I know Devil's Bowl Speedway just had its final World of Outlaws Sprint Car Series event. That racetrack that has been there since the inception of the World of Outlaws is now going away. So we talk about racetracks, you know, coming, but more so lately it's been racetracks going, and here's another one that's saying goodbye this year.
It's been tough for a lot of these short tracks to kind of climb out of what happened 3 years ago and get reestablished, get competitors back, get fans back. Rockford Speedway in Illinois has been around for so long, so many decades. They've been a partner with NASCAR back with the old Winston Racing Series and currently with the Advanced Auto Parts Weekly Series. Yeah, tough to see them go. I know it's a home track of our own Pete Pistone, that is, who we work with here on the Motor Racing Network. I know he'll be taking in the festivities there for the final event this weekend. So hopefully they have a good turnout, a good show, and a great send-off to what has been a historic facility in grassroots short track racing.
For sure. Well, after some sad news with that, let's get to some good news. The NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour announcing its 2024 schedule just this past few days. And we're going down from, I think, 19 to 16 races, Kyle, beginning, of course, at New Smyrna Speedway in February. That's on Saturday, February 10th. And it rolls through a lot of our, typical tracks that we see throughout the year, Richmond Raceway, Thompson. Anything surprise you as looking at 2024 as we get set to wrap up their championship here tonight on Thursday?
I'm glad to see Monadnock Speedway, I think, hosting three NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour events next year. Thompson Speedway, for the first time since before COVID, will be back on the schedule three times, including the Icebreaker event toward the beginning of the season in April after they open up their season on February 10th, once again, at the New Smyrna Speedway, part of Daytona Speed Weeks, a short track right up the road from the big track. No big surprises. All the tracks that have, for the most part, traditionally been a part of the schedule are back, going back to Lancaster, New York next year, midsummer as well. And we'll wrap up for a third consecutive year at the Martinsville Speedway on October 26th. So good schedule. Losing three events, I don't think it's a bad thing. 19 this year was a lot for the teams, especially travel-wise. And remember, these aren't big budget race teams. And it was asking a lot to grow to 19 events. Especially in a lot of races that are out of the Northeast region, like a Richmond, like a New Smyrna, some of the other racetracks that they have gone to in recent years that are away from the Northeast. So we'll see. Hopefully the car count improves just a bit, but expecting a great field this weekend at the Martinsville Speedway. Nearly 40 cars entered for the race on Thursday night.
Yeah, cannot wait for that. But big news again, congratulations, Wheel and Modified Tour. Things are healthy going into 2024 and a great schedule, as you mentioned, with Thompson. And I'm excited. Seekonk is back as well. Put on a great race this year. And that one's coming back on June 1st. So good stuff out of the NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour. A quick short track news, Lane and Huffman found a new home for some of the big Virginia Triple Crown events, as well as the Cars Tour, joining Jimmy Mooring Racing after running for Nelson Motorsports this year. So a quick turnaround for him. Of course, a former Hickory Motor Speedway track champion as well. His father, Rob Huffman, is going to be his crew chief. How about that? A five-time Goodies Dash champion is going to be a father and son duo. That's going to be pretty special, Kyle. Anytime you can have father-son team up to go for a championship in one of short track racing's premier series.
And the Huffman name has been around, like you mentioned, for decades and decades and decades, dating back to the old NASCAR Goodies Dash series. Missed that series. They were fun to watch years ago at tracks like Hickory Motor Speedway. I think it was one of their home racetracks for many, many years before the series went away. So good to see the Huffmans back and doing well.
Finally, before we get to a couple races coming up this week, Kyle, let's get your thoughts on Martinsville Speedway. And, of course, it is the cutoff race for the championship four at Phoenix for both the NASCAR Xfinity Series and the NASCAR Cup Series. Let's start with the Xfinity Series. We saw Sam Mayer get the dub out at Homestead to be the first driver to lock in officially. You've got John Hunter Nemechek, who's 44 to the good, probably think unless he has a disastrous day, which he's trended to not have those as of late. So I think he's pretty much a lock to join Sam Mayer. But then it gets tight. 3 points from Cole Custer, Austin Hill, both three above the cut line. Three below the cut line, Justin Allgaier, who I feel like this season has been the season for Justin Allgaier, yet he comes in three below to Martinsville Speedway. Of course, Sammy Smith, Chandler Smith, Sheldon Creed, all in must-win situations. But what do you think? Anybody can spoil the party, or will it be a tussle between Austin Hill, Justin Allgaier, and Cole Custer?
I don't know. If Sammy Smith qualifies well and runs up front, that team seemingly is always good there. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but he could spoil the party and race his way in. But I think Justin Allgaier, I think, will race his way in. I don't know who will fall out. That's a tough one. Maybe Cole Custer or Austin Hill there, who is on the bubble. But either way, I think one of them will miss it, and I think Justin Allgaier will race his way in and compete for a championship next week in Phoenix.
All right. The expert, Kyle Rickey, lock those
Not
down.
Not an expert.
Lock that in your fantasy pool, folks. Yeah, I think that's a good point. And also, too, I just think it's also interesting that you've got a couple of our Roots graduates and Sammy Smith, who's an ARCA East champion. You've got Chandler Smith, who's run up through the late model ranks, winning some big races as well as winning some ARCA races before getting to the Trucks and now Xfinity Series. They go to a place, Martinsville, that really replicates some of those short tracks that they've grown up racing on. So if you're in a must-win situation, if I'm Sammy Smith or Chandler Smith, this is probably right in my wheelhouse, maybe compared to some of the other drivers. So would not be surprised if we get a walk-off win by either of those two, although I think it is a tough mountain to climb when we get to Martinsville coming up again. That race coming Saturday afternoon, the Down on Tools 250. Now, Kyle, for the Cup Series on Sunday, the Xfinity 500, the one-year anniversary of the Hell Melon that we still talk about to this day, and I know Ross Chastain will never be able to replicate that. No one will. It's now banned from the NASCAR rulebook. But when you look at the drivers sitting below the cut line right now, and it starts with 10 points below to Tyler Reddick. You've got Martin Truex Jr. at 17 below, Denny Hamlin 17 below, and a Chris Buescher Hail Mary attempt at 43 below. Any of those drivers strike your fancy? Maybe Denny to go out and maybe upset a Ryan Blaney or William Byron right now that are 10 and 30 to the good.
Yeah, I mean, you can't overlook Denny Hamlin and Martinsville Speedway. I mean, he's been so strong there over the years, maybe not with this new race car over the last year and a half. But, I mean, he gets around that racetrack well and always has. And if anybody can, pull off an upset, I guess it could be Denny, if you even want to call that an upset. Obviously, had some bad luck at the Homestead Miami Speedway. A part failure sent that car into the outside wall while running well and above the cut line. So the team is capable. It would be very odd if both missed. I'm talking about Martin Truex Jr. and Denny Hamlin, who I know many have pinned for as a championship favorite this year. You know, this could be finally the year Denny wins that championship. And now suddenly he has a lot of work to do at the Martinsville Speedway. But if anybody can do it, it's him. And, maybe Truex can sneak in there as well, but they're both going to have to jump over a couple drivers like Ryan Blaney and William Byron. So going to be tough. Going to be fun to watch, though, come Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, both championships in the Xfinity and the Cup Series are coming down to the wire, and I think it's shaping up to be a heck of a battle, both to get into the Champion Four, and then obviously Phoenix will be a great race for both of these series as well. I agree with Kyle. Denny Hamlin cannot afford another heartbreak in missing the Championship Four like he did last year when Ross Chastain pulled the move and nipped him by about 4 feet at the line for that transfer spot. You know, Denny's probably thought about that, not forgotten about that moment and how it felt. So wants to make sure that he can get in on good. I think Ryan Blaney's been impressive too as well. A couple great races for him. If he does what he needs to do, he should be okay. There's a chance that Tyler Reddick and Christopher Bell will represent Toyota in the Championship Four instead of a Martin Truex Jr. and Denny Hamlin. I didn't have that on my bingo card going into Phoenix. But again, anything can happen. MRN will have the coverage of those races coming up this weekend. A couple races to talk about, Kyle, on the route schedule. How about the Virginia's for Racing Lovers 200 NASCAR Le Modified Tour Championship finale at Martinsville Speedway. Tonight, Thursday night, we've got the MRN crew headed that direction for a thriller like it was last season when we crowned a champion. And now it's coming down to Ronnie Silk, Justin Bonsignor. Who's your money on here tonight?
Oh, it's going to be tight. Big field of cars. So Ron Silk can't afford to slip up because Bonsignor will be there to capitalize. I don't think he will. I think Ron Silk will pick up the championship. As far as a race win, it's wide open with guys like Bobby Labonte and Ryan Newman, Ryan Preece, Burt Myers, Austin Beers, all in the field. Matt Hirschman just coming off a big win at the New London Waterford Speed Bowl this past Saturday. A lot of these drivers pulling double duty before they race here this coming Saturday. So it's going to be a big week for modified racing. A great field of cars on Thursday night. I'll go with Ryan Preece, you know, one of the, I think, the obvious favorites, and Ron Silk for the championship.
Yeah, 100%. It's pretty much anybody's game. And I could see a youngster like Austin Beers, who turned some heads earlier this year, picking up a win could spoil the party as well at Martinsville. Of course, NASCAR is going to be watching as teams roll into Martinsville for the round of eight weekend, and they'll have their eyes on what's going on. And Corey LaJoie put on a good race last year too as well. Yeah. A little bit of controversy though, but again, winning his grandfather clock. So we'll see who's the next to do it. Again, that race is coming up on Thursday night. Tonight, you can hear it on the Motor Racing Network broadcast. We've got a crew going up there as well, so it should be a good time. Again, that race is also at 8 p.m., by the way, if you're keeping track of the time. Smart Modified Tour at Orange County. They're wrapping up their season Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock. You can watch that on Flow. And Kyle, a preview. Finally, the Napa Fall Final is here, your final event for Stafford for 2023. What can we expect here coming up this weekend?
Yeah, it's also the final event for the Monaco Modified Tri-Track Series, the series that runs up here in New England, along with the NASCAR Willen Modified Tour and some of the other different divisions. 42 entries right now for, I believe, what will be 30 starting spots for Saturday afternoon. Matt Hirschman, the most recent winner. In fact, he's won the last two races, won the Spring Sizzler here last year at Stafford Speedway. So I think he's one of the favorites, no doubt, come racing here on Saturday afternoon. But tune us in. It's going to be a good field of cars. All the best of Northeast Modified teams will be here. And going to be fun to watch. A lot of the local SK Modified teams will be stepping up to run in the event as well. So going to be a great race, a great day for racing, 80 degrees, sunshine. The SK Light Modifieds will be on track. The SK Modifieds will be here as well. So going to be a full day, and looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially the fact that we're going to be near 80 up in your neck of the woods. What a way to end the season. It starts in the cold and you end in the sunshine and the heat, which I wouldn't have expected up that direction at this time in October. So awesome stuff, Kyle. Best of luck to you and your team out there for the Napa Fall Final. Again, folks, don't forget Motor Racing Network is your home for all things Martinsville this weekend, beginning tonight with the NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Saturday, things get going, a little triple header broadcast for you, 12:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll have NASCAR Cup Series practice and qualifying for Martinsville Speedway, and then go right into the 3 p.m. broadcast of the Dead On Tools 250 for the cutoff race in the round of eight, the NASCAR Xfinity Series. And then Sunday, NASCAR Live Race Day hits the air, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, leading into the Xfinity 500 as we find out who goes to Phoenix to fight for a championship. Good stuff, Kyle. Kyle, by the way, when this is all over, the Napa Fall Final, what's the plan here? Vacation? You doing a little trip to Mohegan Sun? What's going on?
Oh, those happen a lot of weeks anyway. No vacation planned right now. I need to get back to Disney. That was my hot spot for many, many, many years. So maybe during the off season, we'll take a trip down there. But right now, we're already getting ready for 2024 here at the Stafford Motor Speedway.
Yeah,
so scheduled release this week. See staffordspeedway.com for all the details.
There you go. Good little plug. You buried the lead.
Like
your schedule coming out here later this week, so be sure to tune in for that. Well, good stuff, Kyle. Appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and good luck with the Napa Fall Final. Of course, for our producers, Pat Jackers, and I'm Chris Wilner. Thank you so much for tuning in to NASCAR Coast to Coast, presented by Whelen Engineering. On the road, in the air, and around the world, Whelen is trusted to be seen, trusted to be heard, and trusted to perform. Enjoy your weekend of racing and all things from Martinsville Speedway. Don't forget to tune into the Motor Racing Network. Of course, we'll talk about it all going into championship week next week.
Hey, everyone, it's Kyle Busch. At Cheddar's, you get a variety of American classics in a place that feels like home. They have comfort food like hand-breaded chicken tenders, homemade chicken pot pie with nearly a half a pound of roasted chicken under that golden flaky crust, slow-smoked baby back ribs so big they're falling off the plate, all for unbeatable prices. And the best part? A free honey butter croissant for every guest. Now that's how they do it. Cheddar's. Get a lot for not a lot.